I told my wife this morning, I said, honey, you look pretty, even though she wasn't. And I said this just because it's supposed to be what the husband would say. And she still doesn't talk to me. She still gives me the eye. She still nags.
You keep sowing good seeds. You keep going. For you have need of endurance. Because a currency of heaven is in play. It's working.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was telling us how God often takes us down a twisting, winding path to help us get to where he wants us to go. In fact, sometimes the path winds so much that you almost feel like you're going back the way you came from. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. In fact, we'll back the tape up just a second or two to give us a running start. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Currency of Heaven.
And on the CD, you have what they call lands and ridges. Did you know there's bumps on there? And when the laser, it's actually a laser light, senses these different bumps, the little switches, the binary system in the digital world goes click, 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 and turns things on and off at a frequency of impulses of 44 kilohertz. So you know what that is? It's 44,000 vibrations per second. Those little things. And what it does is it takes this, puts it back into an analog design into the speakers, and it amplifies it, the frequencies on the speakers start to vibrate, and you get the sound. Now you say, okay, I got it, but I don't understand what you just said. That's how it is for me sometimes with prayer. I got it. I got the Greek down. I got the Latin down. I get everything, but I still don't understand it. But you just got to keep going. You start to, now I'm starting to get it. No, okay. All right. This is God's best. You pray this way. No, pray this way. Everything comes together. Okay. I got that. And then we start to understand. But that's just how it is with prayer for me anyway. It's sort of like the story of these three guys. It was a Japanese guy, a Hawaiian guy, and a Portuguese guy. And they were all up on this high tower. And they were saying, I'm more fast than you. No, I'm more fast than you. No, I'm more fast than you. And so the Portuguese guy says, I tell you what, let's take off our watches and you drop it off this tower and you have to run down as fast as you can to catch your watch before it hits the ground. Let's see who's the fastest. And the Hawaiian guy says, well, obviously I'm the fastest. I can do it. He takes off his Hawaiian surfer watch and he says, watch this. So he drops his watch, runs down the stairs. He only gets like 5-10 stairs and pack. Here's his watch bust on the ground. Oh, no. Yeah, you're not fast enough. The Japanese guy says, watch me. So he takes off his made in Japan watch and he drops his watch off the tower and runs down. This mugger is fast. He gets about 15 stairs and pack. His watch breaks. Oh, Portuguese guy says, you guys too slow. Watch this. He takes off his Portuguese watch. He drops it off the tower and just kind of moseys down the stairs like this. He stops off at the bathroom because he has to use the bathroom, drinks a soda, and goes down, reaches out his hand, boom, catches his watch. And he walks back up. And the Japanese guy and the Hawaiian guy, oh, you fast. How did you do that? He puts his watch back on. Easy, he said. My watch has always been 20 minutes slow. Okay. I got it, but I don't get it. You know? And sometimes prayer is sort of like that. You just now got it over here, yeah? All right, it's all right. Yeah. You're starting to come because you say, wait a minute. You mean if I want God's best, he kind of takes me on a backwards route for a while? Yeah, he does. But the best is yet to come if you understand prayer. There's an old Confederate soldier that left a prayer behind. I thought it was just so eloquent. And they don't know who the soldier is, but let me read this prayer. And I think it catches the essence of it. It goes like this. I ask God for strength that I might achieve, but he gave me weakness that I might learn humility. I ask for health so that I can do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches so I could be happy, but I was given poverty that I might become wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. God gave me weakness that I might feel my need for God. I asked for all things so that I can really enjoy life. God gave me life that I might really enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I had ever hoped for. Even despite myself, my prayers were being answered. And now I, among all men, are the most richly blessed. Isn't that a great prayer? I thought, that's it. Because you see, sometimes, and would you write this in number two, growing up may include feeling down. Growing up may include feeling down. Because sometimes when we are praying for God's best, He's got to undo some stuff. A lifestyle that was replete with rationalizations, doing things that we're just used to, but they're just not godly. And God is saying, okay, you want my best? We're going to undo some things. No way, I got to not do that anymore. Mm-mm. And you're going to suffer a bit. But it's okay. Would you read how God blesses us? Read it with me, the scripture, go. God raised up Jesus and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Yeah, you see, God's going to say, if you're praying for my best, then sometimes it's going to require us undoing some things. Now, if you're praying the wrong way, I'm going to stand against you. But now if you're praying the right way, I will help you. But for some, I got to do a little bit of surgery here. If you really want to get to my best, then we're going to have to undo some things that have been causing you to go the other way, causing slippage, causing relational breakdowns. And so I'm going to work on some things, and God sent Jesus to bless us by turning each one of us away from our wicked deeds. And God's going to do that in lots of different ways. But if we don't understand the currency of heaven, we're going to stand against God and get mad at Jesus. What? Yeah. You see, because there's going to be times things will turn you away from wickedness, and it's actually the Lord doing that. He could use other people, but it just may be the Lord speaking to my heart, your heart, our heart, to stop doing this or not do that, and to slow down on this, change an attitudinal problem here, whatever it might be. Because if we're not careful, our moods will dictate our life. And the Lord's going to say, no more of that moodiness. And there was a lady that had a shirt on. I thought it was a Catholic church shirt at first, but it said, Our Lady of Perpetual Mood Swings. I said, yeah. But God's going to use all kinds of people to turn us from our wicked ways so that His best can come to pass. And it may just be answer to our prayers. But if we don't recognize the currency of heaven at work, we might reject even the answers to our own prayers, because sometimes our prayers come answered but wrapped in wrappings that we may not recognize. So God's going to start doing some things in our hearts. God will use a parent. God will use a supervisor or a counselor or a pastor to help us to see these things. A boss, a friend, a pastor, a coworker, a pastor, a counselor, an advisor, just someone that you met, even a pastor. God will use many different people. But then we begin to understand, oh yeah, it's so true, isn't it? God, change my marriage. Then go for counseling. No. God, change my marriage. Then live honestly. And we have all of these things on the side. And the Lord is saying, we're going to have to clean some things up. Because even though it'll cause you to suffer for a little while, if you're willing to do that, I will establish you. And I'll be answering your prayers all along. You just got to recognize the currency of heaven at work. Let's read what the scripture says in 1 Peter 5, and you'll see. Go. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That happened with Paul the Apostle, remember? He was praying the wrong way because he was thinking that if he persecuted and told these Christians what they were doing wrong and how to get their act together, then God would be pleased with his righteousness. God would be pleased with how spiritual he was. And God had to blind him and stand against him on that road to Damascus and said, that's not the way you're to go. Okay, Lord, how do I do it? God says, well, okay, I'm going to bring you back to my will, what I have for you and what's best for your life. But let's read what it says here. Go. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. In other words, he's saying, Paul, there's a lot of stuff we're going to have to undo that got you to this place and your disposition, the way you perceive life. There's a lot of things that we're going to undo, and you're going to have to go through some suffering. That doesn't mean I'm not answering your prayer, because there's going to be times, listen, when you and I are suffering, it doesn't mean something's wrong. It just may mean something is getting right. But if we're unwilling to suffer, God's answers to prayer can never come to pass, because I'm unwilling to suffer. I'm unwilling to be corrected. I'm unwilling to turn from my wicked ways. I'm unwilling to, and you fill in the blank. But the currency of heaven may be at work. And so if you've established what God's will is, stay with it, even though it may cause you to turn back a little bit. But sometimes in order to advance, God's going to turn us back. But he'll give you little signs along the way that say the best is yet to come. He'll always give you hope for the future. Things are not going to freeze dry as it is right now. If you'll continue to pray and stay with God's best, the best is yet to come. So, would you fill in the next little bullet there? Be willing to suffer for the sake of growth. Be willing to suffer for the sake of growth. Let's read what it says in 1 Peter 2. Go. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Yeah, would you circle the words endurance and see how many times he uses that word in that scripture? God is saying, once you know what my will is and what's best, write it down and stay with it. Stay with it. Don't rationalize it. I just had a man come to me and said, you know, my wife and I are in a separation, and I've not been faithful to her, but I haven't told her everything, he said, because there's more. Well, at first she wanted to divorce me, but now she wants to reconcile, but there's more stuff that I haven't told her. And I don't deserve this marriage. I probably the best thing is a divorce. And I said to him, what do you think God's best is? He said, yeah, to reconcile. I says, then if you feel this way, that you haven't been honest with her and you don't deserve this marriage to be reconciled, so it's best to just kind of drop out. You know what you're doing? You're basically taking yourself out of the picture and exonerating yourself by saying, I'm not worthy, I'm no good, so it's best to drop out. And in doing so, you exonerate yourself. No. No, you don't do that. There's only one that's going to exonerate you, and that's the blood of Christ, not you feeling worthless. So that's enough to exonerate me from this marriage situation. I'll just kind of drop off because I'm no good. I'm worthless. No, there's only one that's going to give you any kind of exoneration or justification. And it's not you feeling worthy or unworthy about this. No, it's the blood of Christ that will forgive you. That's the only thing that will cleanse you. Not you feeling like, okay, I'm no good, so I'll just drop out of sight. That doesn't do any good. The blood of Christ is the only thing that'll exonerate you. So press into that and move towards reconciliation. Get it right. Otherwise, what'll happen is we will not endure. When we know what God's will is, we won't endure it. We'll find another way out. No, find out what God's will is, stay with it. And would you write in number 3, and obey until you are transformed. Obey, which means stay stalwart. Let's read how he speaks about endurance again. Hebrews 10:36, go. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was. You're going to have to endure. For example, watch this. For years, I've been throwing bad seed. about my disposition, my attitude, my secret life or affairs or my emotional affairs or whatever it is. And I'm throwing bad seed. And then I'm going further and further away from God's best. And then now I come to a point where I say, oops, wrong way. And I turn around and I say, Lord, I need your help so that I begin to achieve your best, because that's God's will for me, the best for my life. Now, I'm not going to throw bad seed anymore. I'm going to throw good seed. So now I'm throwing good seed. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, speak correctly, attend church, tithe, whatever it might be, doing my best. But because you've thrown bad seed for so long, even though you're throwing good seed, guess what's coming up? Bad fruit. Weeds. And that'll confuse you. This thing about prayer, it'll confuse you. So you'll say, wait a minute, I'm coming to church and still things aren't right. I'm throwing good seed, I'm tithing, I'm still in debt. That's it, I'm not going to tithe. That's it, I'm not going to go to church. It was better before that. Before I went to church, it was better. No, listen, your bad fruit's not coming up because of your good seed. It's because of your past deeds. And you keep throwing good seed, even though bad stuff seems to be surfacing. It's going to do that for a season. So you're throwing good seed, but what's coming up? Bad stuff. But it isn't because of your current actions. It is because of your past rebellion. And so you have need of what? Endurance. For after you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. And that's what he's saying. Obey until you are transformed. Oh, I don't know. I tried it. I came to church until I had a fender bender. I told my wife this morning, I said, honey, you look pretty, even though she wasn't. And I said this just because it's supposed to be what the husband would say. And she still doesn't talk to me. She still gives me the eye. She still nags. That's it. I'm not going to tell her she's pretty no more. That's it. I tried once. No, you keep going. You keep sowing good seeds, for you have need of endurance. For after you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. Because the currency of heaven is in play. It's working. You have need of endurance because the very thing you've prayed for is coming to pass. Even though it seems like you're going the other way for a while, God will give you little signs that'll say to you, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. You know what the bottom line of prayer is, the currency of heaven? It's not accumulating things, no. To get your way, no. To have what I want come to pass, no. You know what the bottom line of prayer is? Likeness. Becoming like Christ. That's it. Because we'll learn in prayer to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what will he do? He'll add all the things to us. No, it's not add all these things to me, God, and then I'll be a part of the kingdom of God and righteousness. No, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, by the way, and whatever you need, I'll add to you. Because the bottom line is not accumulation. It is likeness, becoming like Christ. And so he's going to work some things out in us, and we'll come to God's best. And when people look at us, they'll say, these people look just like Jesus. Let me finish with a story that I'd love to tell about a man named Keith Miller. Now, Keith was praying for a job. He said, oh, God, I just want a job where I can be like you and share your life and represent you. Oh, God, because the place he was at had folded and he was without a job. So he said, Lord, the next job, just a place where I can just represent you. Well, after about a month, his job opened up, but it was a job in town where he had to drive his car to a substation, park in a parking lot, get on a subway, go into the city, work, come back by the subway, get into his car, and then go home. Well, every morning his wife would pack him a nice lunch, and this went on for about a week or so. And then one day he got up late, rushing downstairs. He grabbed his lunch from his wife. I gotta go, he says, for fear that if he misses the subway, because he's still under probation, he may lose his job. Quickly, he drives to the substation, and lo and behold, his worst fears are coming to pass because he's noticing the subway had already arrived. People are piling off the subway, and now he's got to go sort of like a contra flow through these people to get to the subway before it takes off. And so he's running through the people, excuse me, and kind of bumping into people and getting by them. He couldn't miss that subway. He turns the corner and runs right into this little 8-year-old kid. Bang! This little kid obviously was going to school coming the other way because he had papers in one hand and his lunch pail and pencils in the other. And they went every other direction than the right one, and they went everywhere. And his lunch pail hit the ground, and his food went out, his lunch went out, people stepped on it. This kid didn't even know what hit him. And Keith said, I kept running because I had to get to that subway. But he said, when I got onto the first rung of that stair to get up into the subway, God said, weren't you praying not only for a job that you would represent me? Because the bottom line isn't to get a job, it's to find a way that you can represent me and what God's best is for people's lives and how to live right. And this is all happening in nanoseconds. He said, if you want to be like me, what do you think I would do right now? And he thought, you know what I need to do is, I just need to be honest and call my boss and tell him what happened and say I'll be about 20 minutes late and let him know and ask for grace and go help that little boy. And he said, then that's what I'll do. Even though it may be risky and may lose my job, the best is to be honest and do what Jesus would do. Because isn't that what I've been praying about, he said. And so he got off the subway. The subway took off and he made his way back to this little boy that was still crying, trying to look for his pencils and pick up all of his paperwork. And Keith said, I bent down and picked up all his pencils, put it in a little cup that he had with him, and straightened up all of his papers and wiped off some of the smudges and straightened it up. And then I wiped the tears off of his face, and I opened his lunch pail, and I took my lunch out and put it in his lunch pail. Sandwich, apple, and really good home-baked cookies. And I closed it and I said, today, you're going to have a really good lunch. I gave him a hug and I whispered in his ear, never forget how much God loves you. And then he said, I turned to walk towards the subway when I heard him calling after me. Hey, mister. Hey, mister. Keith said, I turned around and I said, yes. And a little boy looked up and asked, are you Jesus? And Keith said, you know, for a moment to that boy, I think I was. And then I began to understand the currency of heaven was in motion as I began to pray. God was answering much more than I had ever asked for. But that is God's way with the currency of heaven. Let's be those kinds of prayer warriors. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray and conclude our service together as a church? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace on our lives and helping us to understand each time we gather one more cog in this wheel of how the kingdom of God works and how we can cooperate with you. And we do want to do that, Lord. We want to seek first the kingdom of God. We don't want to use the principles of the kingdom of God for our own purposes. We want to instead seek first the kingdom of God. And that's what we've done this morning. To seek the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And by the way, you said you will add all other things to us. Help us, Lord, to understand that you invite us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you'll take care of so much more than we'd ever be able to pray for. So, Lord, we ask that you would take these things, help us to apply it to our personal lives, our marriages, our relationships, our ministry, our faith, our devotions, everything. Help us to apply these principles so that we'll be indeed a people who understand the workings of the currency of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Currency of Heaven by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.